The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went on and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But the disciples did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when Jesus was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another for who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be least of all and servant of all." And then he took a child and put it among them, and taking it into his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but also the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, this is going to date me maybe a little bit, but one of my favorite movies that stars the late Robin Williams, there's many of them, but one of my favorites is the film Hook. How many of you have seen the film Hook? Fantastic film. Released in 1991, can you believe that? The Steven Spielberg-directed movie plays around with this notion of Peter Pan growing up and forgetting what it means to be a child. And after his own children are kidnapped by the evil Captain Hook, the now adult Peter Pan, played by Robin Williams, goes back to Never Never Land, not only to free his own children, but to remember what being a child actually means. Perhaps the most famous of all the scenes in this film, if you remember, is Peter's reconnecting with this ragtag bunch of lost boys, who of course have never grown up. These boys don't believe that Robin Williams is actually the true Peter Pan until they have this massive food fight. You remember that? And then one of the youngest boys goes to approaches Peter, takes off his grown-up glasses, and puts his hand on Robin Williams' face. And he scrunches it up and finally says, "There you are, Peter." This movie is really amazing, I think, in its embrace of what childhood is. So check it out on your next date night. It might be also a great film for us to see and then read this gospel text from the book of Mark also through. We're going to be dedicating our new church window, which is hanging our stained glass window, which was generously donated by the Perry family, on October 14th. So we'll also be dedicating our new bell tower then as well. So mark it on your calendars and come on that Sunday. It's going to be very special. But for those who haven't seen that window yet, it's this awesome scene of Jesus teaching this group of children arm in arm. And there are different kinds of children that are all like looking at him intently. And I think this window really captures verses 36 and 37 really well, which read, "Then Jesus took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, 'Whomever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. As I have discovered in raising my own child, I think we have created this stigma of what childhood should, quote, be, not welcoming what childhood is. Remember, Jesus' statement here is quite a radical one. Kids were not celebrated in ancient Israel, Palestine. Children were, of course, necessary. You needed heirs, of course, to continue. But in an age of precarious living environments, of famine, of war, of hygiene issues, not to mention disease, children were seen more as this kind of parasite than they were as cute. They were defenseless. They needed resources at a time when it was hard to give them. One 2016 study that I found estimates that the infant mortality rate, to their best guess, in ancient first century Rome, the Roman Empire, was about 30%. Nearly a third, this study found, of all babies died before the age of one. So compare that with the modern mortality rate here in the USA, which actually is higher than in even other developed countries, that which sits, give or take, around 0.5%. You get an idea of this context. Children were helpless, defenseless, and offered no help to the family vocation until they were older. Family vocation, though, is most likely some kind of farming or fishing, and thus were probably malnourished and sick quite a lot. So they were, in the Roman Empire social structure hierarchy, dead last. In even adult foreigners, in fact, foreign aliens came before children, because you can always get at least a foreigner to be a laborer of some kind. Thus, you can see in this context the radical nature of Jesus' response to his disciples here. Whoever welcomes such child, which literally in the Greek can be translated also as least one. Whoever welcomes one such least one in my name welcomes me. Maybe we don't have the problems of ancient Israel, Palestine, but it seems like even in our modern age today, we have this interesting tension of how we view children. Children are cute and great to be around. They make great baby Jesuses during Christmas time. But as soon as they start acting up or getting squirrely, well, then time is up. I once heard another, a member of another Lutheran congregation here in the Missoula area just give a side comment, who stated, you know, if we can only get the kids, then we'll get the parents too. Clearly the parents, I guess, must be the better catch, I suppose. Maybe or maybe not. But I was talking with one of our own OSLC church members the other day who relayed a story to me of her daughter and her family feeling almost completely abandoned because the kids' area near the church sanctuary was being suspended because a group of folks in the church felt it was getting too noisy and disturbing during worship, and it, quote, needed to be dealt with. And you know what? Beyond just noise, right, we also live in a 21st century age where the church can't totally be trusted anymore for being a safe place for children. Children have suffered multiple forms of spiritual trauma, of racism, and even sexual abuse within the walls of church. Even reading this text, I get a little bit squeamish when it says, then Jesus took a child and embraced. It's translated as embraced, but literally the Greek is he gave it a bear hug. I mean, he just really came into the child. And there are all these like little alarm bells that go off in my head of safe church violations that were drilled into me during seminary. Because Jesus is doing a safe church violation here. According to the technical rules of the ELCA, all Lutheran pastors in the ELCA are forbidden to hug a child unless the child initiates it first. So Jesus here wouldn't pass ELCA guidelines. I guess he needs to study up a little bit more. Maybe we need a healthy reckoning of our own childhood after all, as a church. My main man, Soren, in the back, napping, maybe, turned 6 months old last Thursday. Can you believe that? Soren has already, in these past 6 months, taught me a lot about how to be patient and a loving parent. And one of the things that I can't get over is Soren's continual drive to explore new things. A good nickname for him at this point, I think, would be Soren Quiet Hands, because he's always quietly just like reaching out to discover something new, right? And most of the time, it's good things to explore, like a piece of grass or a stick or a book. But sometimes it's not good things to explore, like dad's beer or a pair of scissors or a piece of hot food. Soren's quest, though, for discovery has been infectious. Never have I looked so closely at the sunflowers in our front yard or at a book that needs to be read and half chewed on or at the trees and the sky and the clouds. Turns out I have needed a baby in my life in order to be more open-minded to the everyday items that we haven't fully, I don't think, discovered or worked out yet. And I think Jesus realizes the openness of a child when he asks the disciples here in this text, what were you arguing about along the way? And their response sounds like my brother and I in the back seat of the car when we were pushing each other around, and my parents would ask, what is going on?
Nothing.
You see, that's the kind of thing, right? Childhood openness gives way to something else. We experience all kinds of other things when we grow up a little bit that we have to sort through, of course. And it's like we and the disciples have to relearn what being the least one actually means. Turns out, who are actually being the closed-off kids here in this text? The children that Jesus embraces, or the disciples? Can we see ourselves in this exchange too? The question becomes, I think, how do we, the church, work to not only forget about our little ones, but also seek to learn from our little ones? St. Paul Lutheran Church downtown here just got a new youth director who's amazing. Now, the previous youth director, actually, Amanda Nelson, is one of my best friends in Missoula. So she was amazing, too. But this new youth director, Rebecca, who's actually she's studying to be a pastor. She's doing distance learning at Luther Seminary. But Rebecca gives these amazing, and brings with her these amazing ideas to that congregation, which have really been awesome to see. And she's shared with us pastors some of these ideas. And one of the ideas that she brought with her, and she has started to create an area she calls a playground. And there are actually multiple ELCA churches that have started to do this nationwide. And it's really cool. Basically, a playground is an area that is set aside in the sanctuary for children during worship. And a playground might have some cool beanbag chairs, for instance, or soft toys to play with, or books or coloring materials. And now you would think that a playground like this, this area, would be nicely tucked away into the corner of the sanctuary, not to make too much noise. But the entire idea of having a playground, according to Rebecca, is you put it right in front. Because that way, the children can be most engaged with what's going on here up in worship, but also be teaching one another and us how to be respectful during worship. Now, St. Paul just introduced their playground 2 weeks ago, and it has received very positively. And it makes me wonder, what can we do here at OSLC? Because as we see in this text today, welcoming never stops. Welcoming never stops. And it is in welcoming that we, no matter what we do or what we say, we are opened to new possibilities. So I congratulate St. Paul and their playground for taking a risk. And whatever it means for us here at OSLC, of course, it takes more than just a children's worship area to be open to the little ones. But maybe it's a start. Whatever it may be, may God grant us wisdom and patience to be open like a child, to discover our world in new ways, and to celebrate the wonder of our children, both today and well into the future. Amen.